This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for us to What's Your Story? Always live and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here, only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown, along with the indispensable Shannon McCurchy working the boards. You know, John Dewey said that education is not preparation for life. Education is life itself. And life is told in stories, from poignant personal narratives that portray a medley of human experiences to the enchanting folk tales inspired by our fanciful dreams. Because life is a story. Our story. And tonight's guest storytellers, a trio of sixth graders, will make this claim come to life by delivering their own original yarns. And they're from Johnson Middle School, and they are some of the most artistically ambidextrous and definitely coolest kids in town. Fatima Castro was a member of her broadcasting team in elementary school. Morning announcements, news, local events may have been read off a teleprompter, but she quickly learned about the impact of verbal expression. Fatima is also a dancer, ballet to be exact. She plans to become a psychologist so she can treat all the staff members of KPFT. And in fact, it is this interest that inspired the story that she'll tell us tonight. Olivia Nixon has always been interested in writing. She writes stories of almost every genre and has the kind of sensitivity that helps her draw some pretty profound conclusions about her own life. And you'll get a very good taste of that this evening. Shelby Edison is a return talent, and referring to her as a talent is no hyperbole. Last year, she shared her story, Le Cupcake, about a little girl who opened a cupcake shop, inspired by her own affection for the confection. And tonight, Shelby will be taking us on another whimsical journey. How are you guys doing? Are you still nervous? Olivia, are you okay? You need some water? You need a Valium? Are you okay? Everybody's good? Shelby, yeah. You did warn them about all of this, right?
Yes.
What kind of advice did you give them?
I tried to fill them in on everything. I'm pretty sure that I left out a lot.
Did you tell them that this show was being broadcast internationally, that every country in the world, every home will be listening to this? That's trillions of people, Olivia. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Did you tell them that?
I think I forgot that.
Yeah,
detail.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But Fatima, who is a broadcaster that you emulate? You were in broadcasting for a while, right? And is there one that you emulate when delivering morning announcements?
I didn't have one before today, but I think today I met one. That would be you. I have heard of
me?
Yes.
Oh, boy, you know, you've got a really limited universe. I got to tell you, if I'm your role model, you need help. You know, you got to help yourself. You'll be the psychologist. Get involved with self-talk. But that's very sweet of you. Why?
I've heard quite a couple of your podcasts, and I just really like the way you present and the way you speak and write. It's very beautiful.
Thank you very, very much. The medications help a great deal. And coming out of therapy, you know, thank you so much. That is so sweet. That is really nice. You know, it's amazing the kind of gifts that you get. You guys are unbelievable, and I appreciate that a lot more than you think. I really do. How'd you become interested in psychology?
I kind of just like to help my friends with their problems, and when I give them advice and it helped them become happier, I just really liked how that felt.
You told me that psychology has something to do with the story that you want to tell tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit how psychology is a trigger mechanism for your story.
In my story, I wasn't able to express how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I just think a psychologist would have helped with that so people can express, because they should.
Tell us your story.
I remember that day. As average as a day can get, if not more. but when I saw my mom's face waiting for me outside, I knew that day was anything but average. She had told me that my dad had been sent back to Mexico due to his recently bought car that had a fake car plate from the latest owner. At first, I denied it. The thought of my dad being thousands of miles away from me was something I didn't want to cross my mind. With the idea that my mom had been joking, I ran to the door, but my dad was not there when he should have been. I broke down. I cried. That's all I remember from that day. My mom had tried comforting me. I paid little to no attention, but as the days went by, I was told not to talk to anyone about the subject. At the time I was 7, I really didn't have a lot of experience with emotional things, unless you count losing your favorite toy. But this just made me an emotional train wreck. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to pretend like nothing had happened. I wanted someone to bring him back. But I knew my mother was going through as much pain or even more than I was. So I didn't say anything. I pushed all those painful emotions deep down and did all she said. A few days later, my mom decided it would be best if she were to send his clothes down to Mexico. I didn't seem like it would matter at all, but for me, it did. With all his clothes gone, what little of his present that was still in the house would leave as soon as those clothes left. I remember seeing those clothes packed up because, again, I had pushed all my emotions down and not said a thing. I remember coming home every day and feeling as if I would open the door, he would be there, in the couch or sitting or helping Mom with dinner. This feeling, I don't think I ever admitted to myself, just because I was trying to pretend like everything was all right. But there was moments when I knew, and I think everyone else knew, that we couldn't pretend everything was fine. Moments I detested. I detested going into or past my parents' room and seeing his empty closet. I detested going into my parents' room at night and only seeing my mom lying there by herself. I detested going out as a family and him not being there when he should have been. The day he finally returned was like the day he was gone. I had just been dropped off by the bus. When I saw my mom's face sitting there for tears, I thought, what more could have happened? One of my worst fears had already come true. But the expression on her face was different. Not sad, but overwhelmingly happy. She just looked at me and smiled and said, "Who's home? Guess who's home, I mean." Again, like that day, I ran to the door, and there he was, waiting for me at the doorstep. That joy was something I cannot explain with the words. The kind of joy that cannot be recreated in a lifetime. I remember I had jumped on him, giving him a hug so hard he almost fell down. We just stood there like that for a couple of minutes, not saying a word. And for the first time in a long time, it finally felt like the house we lived in could finally be called our home. No pieces were missing. It was all complete. Now the question of how that changed me was pretty easy to answer. I mean, I take the time I get to spend with my parents, not just my dad, preciously. They're always busy with work and other things, and when they're not off, I'm at dance practice or something else. And if I'm to say so, I have a way better relationship with my dad than I do with my mom. Unlike me, my mom is more serious and formal. My dad and I just aren't. Well, I know more than most people do that you shouldn't take for granted the time you have with your parents. And of course, most people at this age get a rebellious, if I to say, stage, but I probably won't as much. The relationship the time apart has built between me and my dad is something I will truly treasure and do everything to maintain the same. So, next time you get mad at your parents, don't bother on it. Just enjoy the time you have with them, because trust me, I know what it's like not to have them around, and you don't want that.
It's a beautiful story. Thank you. Now, you wrote that story for, what kind of an assignment was that?
She just told us to write about an experience that changed you dramatically.
Now, when you wrote that, did you imagine ever expressing it orally, or did you imagine it would stay in written form?
I imagine I would have preferred for it to stay in written form.
Why is that? Why prefer that?
Because it is hard for me to tell a story.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about when that story unfolds in your mind?
I just sort of think that I had so much time when I was little before this happened that I didn't spend time with him. I just sit there, and then this hit me, and I was like, why did I ever not spend more time with him?
Yeah. Yeah, those regrets. I see that when you share that story with us, but it was really very, very beautiful. Was it hard for you to tell that story?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you want us to remember from that story most?
To treasure your parents, because you never know what life might throw at you, and you just want to live every day as if it were your last.
Yeah, you really do. And you feel that when you say that, don't you? Yeah. This is Hank Rybacek with Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to three stellar student storytellers from Johnston Middle School, Shelby Edison, Olivia Nixon, and Fatima Castro, on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 for our friends in Livingston, or kpft.org if you're listening online. But whatever avenue you travel to get here, I am so glad that you are here. Olivia, you've always been interested in writing, right? You've
yes.
always been interested in writing, yeah. Since when? Since when? Since we were two, three? How far back do you remember?
Well, it kind of started when I was in about kindergarten. Our teachers mm-hmm. kind of always make us write.
Yeah.
And, well, it kind of just started to become something that I really liked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that when you sort of develop your love affair with the written word?
Yeah, writing was kind of like my way to get away from the real world, and it was a way that I got to cope. And when I went to Johnston and found out that there was a broadcast journalism program, I was immediately drawn to it, and it just kind of fueled my love for writing.
Yeah, and you've got the greatest teacher in the world, and we're going to talk about her in a little while. But now, you may write the great American novel one day, but not before you become a great heart surgeon, right? Why heart surgery?
Well, I've always been drawn to biology, and the idea that I could save lives just with my knowledge and with my skill just makes the idea of being a heart surgeon just even better and helps me, like, want to do it more.
That is so simple and so beautifully said. It really is. Well, you know, without giving us any kind of spoilers, how does being a surgeon, well, being a surgeon is a lofty goal, and I know that you're going to get there because you have a lot of compassion, and compassion is in many ways the anchor behind this story, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
In some ways, yeah. I know I was kind of, I was looking for the right word, but I think it's compassion. And it's a very tender story. And I think there's an awful lot of similarity between what you want to do for a living and the sort of words and feelings that you can put in a story like this. We're looking forward to it.
Every once in a while, someone greatly affects a person's life. For me, this moment came about a year ago. This person turned my whole life upside down, backwards, sideways, any way it could be changed. Yeah, I know everyone has someone who impacted their life greatly, but my person is just a little bit different. How, you ask? Well, the person who impacted my life is actually a dog. At the beginning of fifth grade, my family and I decided we wanted to get another dog. And about a month later after that decision, before we knew it, we were driving in our beige GMC Yukon to the person who was selling the dog. The excitement only built. Questions like, how many more minutes and what's her name going to be, only became more common. We walked in, and there she was, a chubby little English bulldog puppy. It didn't look like much, but little did I know that dog would change my life. In elementary school, I was bullied severely. Most days, I would go home crying, tears rolling down my face. I didn't really have that many friends, maybe three or four, but they were in a different class. No one really liked me much, but our new dog did. This is pretty shocking to me. Pets normally liked my brother the most, but this dog followed me everywhere around the house. She was always by my side. I thought only joy could come from this dog, but I would soon find out that my life would come crashing down because of her. We named her Lexington, Lexi for short. One day, she had to go to the vet to get spayed, and when she got back from her appointment, she just wasn't herself. She wouldn't get up to eat. She wouldn't even walk. Lexi just sat at the end of the bed, not moving a muscle, and you could tell she was in pain. At about 9 p.m., we started to get very, very worried, and we decided we had to take her to an animal hospital. It was too late for me and my sister to go to the animal emergency hospital, so my mom and brother went instead. But I had a feeling it was too late for Lexi as well. For my sister and I, we just waited and waited, then waited some more to hear from my mom about what was going on. The phone rang, and caller ID said it was my mom. I suddenly felt my heart just shatter and all hope become lost. A minute later, after my dad hung up the phone, he called me and my sister downstairs. I walked into my parents' bedroom, and my dad was sitting there as quiet as a mouse. We were all silent. And I broke the silence, and with tears flowing down my face, I said, "She's dead, isn't she?" My dad nodded silently. My best friend was dead. That dog taught me so much. She taught me that no matter how sucky things get, that they will get better. She taught me that life is short, and that I shouldn't be wasting my time on the ones I hate, but instead spending it with the ones I love. If I listened to everything she taught me, we would be here for hours. She was barely 9 months old, but she had taught me way more than people who are way older, who get paid to teach as a living. That dog made me into the person I am today. I stopped caring what the bullies thought about me, or care what they said about me, because all of that didn't matter. I knew it wasn't true, and so did my family and close friends, and that's what mattered. I started to come home with a smile on my face instead of tears. I'm a much better, more positive person than I was a year ago, and I have that very dog, Lexington, to thank for all of that. I still miss her, and I certainly will never forget her.
What a beautiful story. Was that hard for you to tell?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you thinking about as you were telling that story, as that was unfolding?
I was thinking about my dog.
Yeah. How many times have you told that story, would you say?
Well, I told it in broadcast a couple times, and now, so not many.
What kind of response did you get when you first told it in your broadcast journalism course?
Well, everyone was kind of silent, and a couple of the kids were, like, almost in tears.
Sure. You know why, right? Because you resonated with them. Because you connected with them, right? You know, storytelling is really the art of connecting, isn't it? I mean, it is if you do it right,
yeah.
And the three of you do it right. And what makes the three of you so cool is that you're smart and you're humble. And that is an unbelievable formula. And it's a great series of ingredients in this thing that we call storytelling. It's a great recipe. That was a beautiful story. What is it that you want us to remember from your story? What do you want us to really walk away from?
I want you to remember to always be yourself and to not care what others think. Just do you, and don't let anyone stop you.
It's a great lesson. What a wonderful, wonderful parallel. What a beautiful, beautiful parable. You know, if an award was given to the best Facebook, we're going to shift gears for just a moment. If an award was given to the best Facebook page, our So What's Your Story page would win hands down. I don't know if you guys knew that. I just thought I'd share that with you. Thanks to the countless skill sets possessed by one Shannon McKerchie. Shannon, I know I asked you this week in and week out, but tell us, what will we find on that page?
Well, Hank, we'd find information about our fabulous storytellers each week, articles about everything from the creative benefits of keeping journals to the art of listening and telling, and so much more, like upcoming events around town and what's going on in the national scene, if you want to get really plugged in.
Yeah, and you know what? People are actually going to learn stuff. Isn't that amazing? They're going to learn things. I was reading recently that the average attention span is 4 minutes long. Did you know that? And in 2004, it was 12 minutes. In 1996, it was 17 minutes. When I was born in 1883, I think it was about a half hour. You know what I mean? But storytelling increases our ability to gain attention, doesn't it? We have to sit there and we have to listen, and that's very powerful. Shannon really does some great stuff with the Facebook page, though, and it's something that you need to turn to and tell your friends to, because you learn so much. She's a great researcher, not only a great writer, but also a terrific, terrific researcher. You know, also, too, we know that our sponsor is the Houston Storytellers Guild, and they are one of the most influential groups in the state. We hold our monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. You want to check out their new, easy-to-navigate site at www.HoustonStorytellers.org and focus on the Liars Contest coming up on April 18th. Shannon, tell us about that, and then tell us about this guest we've got coming in next week. Tell us about the Liars Contest first.
We are really looking forward to it. It's on Saturday, April 18th at 7 p.m. at Dillon, the second auditorium at Houston Baptist University. You take 59 to Vondren and go to Gate 2 and follow the signs. $8 for members, $10 for non-members. It's really one of the signature events in
Houston. It really is. It's, cheap date night. Cheap date night, and it's great. Now, we've got somebody, Ty Mahoney, is that it?
Yes, Ty Mahoney.
Tell us a little about her.
It's a him, and he...
Him?
Yes, he...
Well, I knew that.
He's a grand slam teller, and oh my goodness, I've heard this fabulous story of his twice in two different venues.
Funny guy.
Oh, hilarious. He's a comedian.
Good. Very good.
And yes, he tells...
Yeah, everybody's a comedian, right?
About the awkward moments of junior high dances.
Uh-huh.
That's what he told.
Junior high defines awkwardness, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It certainly does.
Oh my God, have I got junior high stories, but you don't want to get me into that. Now, last year, Shelby constructed, it was about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Last year, Shelby constructed a story based on her passion for cupcakes that really did have us in awe. And welcome back. It's so great to have you back, because you're really sort of the, I mean, you're the veteran. You find that funny?
Yes,
I know.
I do.
Yeah, I know. I find that funny, too. I find it funny that I'm sitting here, too. I know. But you have talent.
Thank you.
You belong here. How does it feel to be on again?
It feels really amazing, and I feel really passionate about my story, and I'm so excited to share it. I really feel at home here now.
You do feel at home?
Yes,
well,
I do.
It doesn't get any better than that, right? Doesn't get any better than that. You've got a different kind of story for us tonight, one that's quite different from a cupcake, and tonight you're going to take us on a journey about journeys, about traveling, right?
Yep.
What's your story?
To me, being a traveler doesn't mean that you have traveled all over the world. I think that a traveler is someone who experienced and got involved with the culture of a certain city or place. A traveler is going to come home with a brain full of knowledge that wasn't copied from a book, but heard by locals. A traveler will know the place they visit like the back of their hand. I consider myself a traveler, not because I have traveled to a lot of places, but because I love the places I visit. I travel every single chance I can, every holiday or break from school there is. My family and I are hopping on a plane to a faraway land. Most people can't even pronounce the places we are going. When I tell them where I'm going, they say, "Wow, you are very lucky." And I respond, "I know, but for a reason other than they are thinking." I feel I am lucky to learn more about myself every time I hop on a plane and buckle my seatbelt. I remember when I went to Bhutan. Our plane had landed and I had the flu. I also had lost my voice. When our guide picked us up, I was thinking that he thought I was really shy by not talking. When we got to the hotel, our guide told us how he had gone to school as a kid. He said that they didn't have books or pencils, just rocks. He would collect the rocks on the way to school and in school form letters with them. Even though I couldn't say it then, I thought of how I took a little thing, like packing my backpack, for granted. I always find it a pain packing my bag, but it is so much better than collecting rocks on my way to school. In Tanzania, I learned the importance of happiness. We visited the locals' homes, and they had very little things. That didn't matter to them. They were some of the happiest people I've ever met. They waved to us as we drove by, welcomed us to tour their homes, and treated me like we were lifelong friends. After returning home, I felt like the people here had forgotten what happiness is. I still don't know exactly what it is. I do know that it isn't how much stuff you have, how big your house is, or how expensive your car is. Happiness is something more that comes from your heart, and the Tanzanians know what it is. In France, I found out what an adventure is. We were on a cruise and had stopped in a city we were not planning on going to. We were going to Aix, which wasn't very far away. We were running to the train station and barely made it to our train. Then the train got stuck, and we were on it longer than expected. After that, we had to get on a subway, which is very hard when the signs are all in French. We finally made it to Aix by afternoon. I had a fun time there, but the adventure getting to the destination was even better. The experience taught me that you don't always need a tour guide to travel. When I went to New Zealand, I learned how being kind really affects people. We had hopped on a bus to get to a museum. We knew what stop to get off, but not how to get there. As we exited, we asked the bus driver how to get to the museum. He got out of the bus and showed us a shortcut to get to the destination. His kindness has stuck with me, and I will always remember this one bus driver. I learned that your kindness will really make a difference to someone else. From all these travels, I have learned so much. I think that it makes me a better person. The things that I have experienced while traveling are almost impossible to describe. I think that they have made me a braver, more understanding person. In some places I have traveled,
The people have houses that aren't as big as ours, clothes that aren't as nice as ours, and foods that's not as fancy as ours, but they really know how to live. I believe that anybody can be a traveler. It doesn't matter where you go, as long as you have been changed for the better.
Thank you. That is beautiful. You know, you have a wonderful way of really synthesizing a lot of descriptive detail in a very short period of time. Can people travel without going anywhere? I know that sounds like a strange question.
I feel that it doesn't matter where you go. Like, even if you went to a park and you had the grandest adventure you could ever had, I think that you could consider yourself a traveler.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. And I say that for a very practical reason. A lot of people don't want to travel a whole lot nowadays. And yet, the experience of traveling, to be taken to another world and then brought back safely to the present, is a very difficult, difficult concept. But, you know, you made a very good point. Traveling does teach us so much about culture. It teaches us so much about diversity. It teaches us that differences are blessings rather than constraints, don't they? They really do, and it's so important to be able to experience that. What is it that we should walk away from with your story? What's the parable? What's the lesson?
I think that the real message from my story is that there is a whole other world outside the U.S. just waiting to be experienced. And we have to keep an open mind about what lies outside of America's boundaries and really embrace the different cultures and the beautiful world we have.
Americans are wonderful. They're the only ones I know of who can go to another country and make other people feel as if they're the ones in the foreign country. Does that make sense? Like, what do you mean there's no soda machine on this floor? Or what do you mean I'm just getting one towel a week? Get the idea? It's really kind of this ethnocentric sense that we're better than others, and that's a shame. You know, I think we're better, but I think that really still comes across. And again, traveling teaches us that. Shannon, you love traveling, right?
I do. I really do.
Traveling rocks with you because
England, France, Spain.
But you also talked about the fact that your parents taught you so much, and that's what's so unique about them. They met while traveling, didn't they?
Yes. Well, actually, my mother was on vacation up in Esopus, New York, and they met. And then he asked her to go to Europe with her.
They had to go to Europe together, and that
was the beginning.
That was the beginning. Look what happened. You.
I guess it's not bad,
believe me. Yeah, we're still thinking about it, but it's not bad. Each of these incredible young ladies is led by one amazing teacher, Vinnie Arlt, whose commitment and dedication to her students is really beyond indescribable. What makes her so special? There's all sorts of accolades and characteristics and descriptors, adjectives, but what? Fatima, what makes her so great?
I think that she can be a little strict, but most teachers are. Mm-hmm. But she can make a joke and, you know, laugh and have a good time, but doesn't let it get in the way of our teaching and really gives us criticism, but with a good feeling just to make us better.
Yeah. Yeah. So she is more of a coach than a critic.
Yeah. Miss Arlt is, she can be a little strict sometimes, but she's a really nice person. And you can tell her goal is to really just help us strive in writing and be the best writers we can.
I definitely feel like every time I walk out of her room, I've learned so many techniques that can make my stories I write at home so much better.
Yeah. You know, we're almost out of time, but any shout outs before we leave?
To my family, probably.
They're here, and they are so proud of you. You know, your buddies Ella and Kiana is going to be here on the 30th, and we are so, so looking forward to them. Thank you, Fatima Castro, Olivia Nixon, and Shelby Edison. Education is indeed the movement from darkness to light, and each of you turn mirrors into windows with your intellectual drive and artistic brilliance and kind and gentle spirits. Words can't tell you how much we really love having you here. Don't anybody move, because Scooter is coming up next on the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Healthcare for All Texas presents Mercy Killers, Michael Milligan's one-man award-winning play, a powerful love story and an examination of U.S. healthcare. The opening night performance on Thursday, April 30th, will be a special benefit for the Living Hope Wheelchair Association at Talento Bilingue de Houston, 333 South Jensen Drive at 7 p.m. All Houston performances will be followed by an actor-audience discussion. For